My guest is British horror writer Clive Barker. Readers are drawn to and often repulsed by his graphic images, like a severed hand with a life of its own, walking zombies, or a cannibalistic pig with the soul of a boy. Known for his collections of short stories, Barker has now written his first novel. It's called The Damnation Game, and it's set in a hellish version of present-day London. In the novel, Barker writes, "Hell is reimagined by each generation." I asked him how the hell he conjures up is different from what his predecessors created.
My hells, plural, are more visceral, more specific, more visual, maybe. I want my readership to enter the hells of my books and smell them, feel them, enjoy them in some perverse kind of way, perhaps, but nevertheless enjoy them, and feel when they've stepped from the book that they've escaped something which was as real as the world into which they have escaped.
Is your hell more graphic than your predecessors?
Yes, very much so. I mean, it's there in as much detail as I can create.
Well, a lot of people are really very offended at graphic images in horror novels or,
yes,
or movies.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I feel that there's obviously an audience out there that simply doesn't want to see its horror in Technicolor. It wants the writer to present a world in which just at the moment the beast or the atrocity lurches into view, the shadows deepen and we cut away to another scene. That's not my style of horror. It's an absolutely legitimate approach, and my approach to it is that whatever I'm seeing in my mind's eye, I'm going to put on the page. It seems churlish in the extreme to imagine a monster, imagine a scene, and then say, "Well, I'm not going to show that to the reader. I can deal with that, but I'm not sure the reader can." I think that's condescending. What I can see in my mind's eye, I will show the reader to the limit. And if that means there are some people out there who say that my books are too strong for them, then that's a pity. That's regrettable. But I don't think I would ever be moved to self-censorship because of that.
You know, the sensation that I felt reading your book wasn't so much fear as it was the sense of nausea and revulsion. There are some incredibly revolting images in the book that I think are terrific.
Flatter me.
No. I mean, I made the mistake of reading some of this shortly after breakfast.
Right. Did you get your breakfast back?
No. I was okay. But I want to ask you to read a passage,
sure,
that describes one of, I think, the more explicitly revolting scenes. And you know the section I mean.
I do indeed. Our heroine, Caris, is imprisoned in the house of one of the many villains who stalk the pages of the Damnation Game, the last European Mamoulian. And he needs some information from her, and which she seems unwilling to give. And so she's, as it were, bombarded with images and illusions, which are all created or conjured by Mamoulian in order to make her give in. It's a kind of torture by imagination, and this is a scene in which she's locked herself in the toilet in order to avoid him, and he's outside and induces a particularly nauseating fantasy for her. This is how it goes. And then the pipes began to rumble. Somewhere in the system, a tide was moving. The sink made a sucking sound. The water in the toilet bowl splashed. The toilet lid flapped open and slammed closed again as a gust of fetid air was discharged from below. This was his doing somehow, though it seemed a vacuous exercise. The toilet farted again. The smell was noxious. "What's happening?" she asked under her breath. The dribbles from the toilet had become a stream, as if the sewers had backed up and were discharging their contents at her feet. Not simply excrement and water, the soup of hot dirt had bred monsters, creatures that could be found in no sane zoology, beasts that fed on excrement whose bodies were a pun on what they devoured. Everywhere in the silt, forgotten stuff, offal and dregs, raised itself on queasy legs and flapped and paddled towards her.
How did you come up with the idea for this scene?
For this scene, bad plumbing at my house. Actually, the ideas linger around for such a long time, and I make notes of all this. All this stuff, the dreams and the daydreams, and by the time I actually come to sort of put them into some kind of narrative, very often I've forgotten the origins, and that's a case in point. It may very well be I don't remember being scared of toilets as a child. It may very well be that I was.
There's a scene in which there are several decapitations, and I just want to read a passage from it. It says, "A third prisoner's head rolled in the snow, and a fourth. A soldier laughed. The blood steamed. Its meaty smell was appetizing to a man who hadn't been fed for a week." That is also a very, really nauseating image. And it's especially nauseating, I think, when someone has such an inappropriate reaction to blood as this character has had.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised at how common that response actually is. I do research on this stuff, and I don't want to go into the details in public about how I know how appetizing the smell of blood can sometimes be, but I did research that and got that... got that response actually personally.
I really want to know how you researched this.
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, one of the things that I did for this research, which I've never done before, I actually went to an autopsy, and which I was very scared and very nervous about, because believe it or not, I'm squeamish, and I thought I'm probably not going to be able to handle this. And it turned out to be an extraordinary experience, which elicited from me a number of responses which would appear to be inappropriate. And I think that, for one thing, I found the whole experience very beautiful, which really surprised me. I expected to be grossed out, and I wasn't. And halfway through this thing, I got very hungry and said, you know, "I'm hungry, guys. This took 3 hours." And they said, "Oh yeah, makes you hungry, this business." this was the pathologist and the mortuary assistants. Yeah, very appetite inducing business. And I took that away and I thought, well, yeah, maybe I can use that. And I think that the inappropriate response sometimes makes a scene more true. Because if I had simply said that the character was looking at the heads rolling and said he was sickened, maybe the reader says, well, yeah, that's a man who has not experienced this, assuming that the sight of heads rolling is simply sickening. By picking up a little bit of a detail which seems inappropriate, which seems odd, I think you lend truth or verisimilitude to the scene. Otherwise, you're just left with human beings facing monsters or scenes which terrify them. And that's got to be a limited arena.
On a more superficial level, we do find it very entertaining, in a way, to be revolted or nauseated or scared in the context of fiction or a movie.
Right. Though I'm not sure that that's necessarily a superficial thing. In fact, I think that most of these issues about horror and fear and all, this whole area of dark imaginings is actually very complex and worth more study and more critical attention than for the most part it gets.
What scares you now? For instance, like if you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't fall back asleep and things are just coming to haunt you, what are the kinds of things that scare you now?
You know, I don't have nightmares. Maybe because
never?
I truly don't. I used to when I was a kid, but I haven't had nightmares for maybe, I don't know, 20 years.
Are you that well adjusted?
I think, no, good God, you read this stuff, you think I'm well adjusted? No, it's on the page. The scary stuff is made concrete in my imagination. I drag it out of the subconscious, out of my subconscious, and show it to myself before setting it on the page. And that process, I think, is very healthy.
Clive Barker's first novel is called The Damnation Game. He's also written and directed his first movie called Hellraiser. It's expected to be released in August.